Blog Talk Radio. I want to take this time out. We want to salute Tina Turner, one of the queens of rock and roll, or the queen. We want to honor her tonight and play a little of her. God bless you tonight. Tina was a story from riches, from poor to rich, from riches to the community. And with all that going on with Tina, she remained loyal to people and her fans. So we're going to play a little of her history. That's Tina Turner. We're going to play a little of her. And if you got a need, you plan out, go to our website, thestateabrahamwebsite.com. And you got a problem, give me a call, and I will pray for you, and I will try to do some things to help you. I just feel that tornadoes and floods coming back to back. We're getting ready for the holiday. All the brothers that came from Vietnam and came back, a lot of them didn't come back. We're going to pray for them tonight. But we're going to hear a little Tina Turner.
We always go to the night. Tina
Turner. Peter Turner performed their United Artists album. What you hear is what you get.
My good music. We told you, baby. All of it's great. Yeah. Yeah. And out here on the floor, y'all. All past the world, don't go. Back up to the music. Yeah. Yeah. I'm tired of the wheel.
So then later on, when we were married, we cut lines. I was like 17. My food, and whoever was pretty much Memphis was following Ike Turner King sort of around the cycle, which was very big, especially for the time. In other words, it's all like the water's like beetling. It's like, oh, she's always moving then, because like when he went to St. Louis, like it's like a jazz town. So I started going to Ike Turner because it was just going like, Ike Turner, you know. So finally, I sort of get over to get it eventually because it was still school. And I was there, my first impression was very well. The suit didn't match on that, you know, because he's so tiny, he's like a model or something. So I said, well, he's standing on top of a piano, and the band is really going, you know, and I thought, wow, I'm not sitting with this man, you know.
I've been loving you too long. I don't know why, but I don't want to stop. I don't want to stop now.
Oh, you ain't ready to die.
Stay with me. Stay with me. I love you.
Thank you.
We salute Tina Turner and her review. She's an ancestor now, but she did a lot, I shall say. So I really salute her for what she did for people, okay? And that's important to understand Tina and what she gave to the women. And even in her abuse, you know, husband and wife fall out, and her and husband fought a lot, but she had to leave him, but still he was something to help her in her career. She said she was very young, so we salute Tina Ashe. Tina Turner, one of the great women that opened up doors for black and white women. I never thought anybody could outdance her. I mean, I see all these other young dancers, they have naked, but Tina just had it, and she danced real nice. So we salute her tonight. That's Tina Turner, I say. We salute her. Send out much love to her family, as she's an ancestor now. I want you to get ready for a divine word. In the divine word, God will open up a door, and God will give you what you want tonight. We're on from 9 to 10, from 10 to 11. You might miss the 10 o'clock show and hit 11, from 10 to 11. Maybe that might be for you. But whatever it is, it's a divine word for you tonight. And the divine word is God will heal body, mind, soul, and spirit. If you got a need, plant a seed. Go to my website, thesseedofabraham.com, and go to PayPal, and bam. Or go to Cash Out, bam. Or as you go, and it will be a blessing for you as you plant your seed. You know, if you want to fast in a hurry. And I'm praying for you going into this holiday month. I share our ancestors. I want to reach out for all the brothers in Vietnam. They didn't make it back. And the families lost sons, mothers, children, families in the Vietnam War. I'm praying for them tonight. I'm praying for you tonight, those that have come so far, but don't blame you. Don't seem like you know well. But I always say this, Psalms 119, we're getting ready to go into a new month just about it. But I have prophesied that it's going to be major floods throughout the South region, hurricanes in Florida, and tornadoes. And it's getting cranked up now, I say. I have talked to the ancestors, and the ancestors of Bishop, give them the warning whether they accept it or not. I'm praying for you, Lorraine, I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you, Sister Tina, I'm praying for you. I'm praying for the whole family, those that were lost out, those seem like they lost. And here in Chicago, in Detroit, in California, Mississippi, Arkansas, stop the killing, save the babies. I just feel that when we get together and bring out that it is something happening in our world, let me say it again, it's something happening in our nation. When you look around, you see bees stinging people. You see sharks biting folks. You see tigers and lions in the woods chasing folks. So the whole world is changing. I say, Sister Bright Star, God bless you. I talked to Bright Star earlier this morning. I talked to let you know that God is doing some things in this world. And you got to walk in God. I was talking to Mama Jo. I was telling her that you have to walk in faith. And once you walk in faith, God will make a door for you. And I want to tell you, don't give up on God, because God ain't give up on you. I say. Right now, a lady called me and said, bitch, I planted some plants, but they said it's going to be frost. I said, baby, just plant some more. This world is changing, and we find out a lot of evil spirits is out there, the spirit of Abaddon, the spirit of hate, because we do not know ourselves. You don't know yourself, and you don't understand knowledge old knowledge was taught, but new knowledge is taught. You got to know that you are a man of God and you're a woman of God. I say, Jim Brown, great football player out of Cleveland, he passed. And he did a lot to help people. In his later years, he kind of, well, but still, we standing on the foot of our ancestors. I say, Tina Turner, I say, all the ancestors, your ancestors, I say, all them that came over on the ship, all them that died in the death, I say, all our ancestors, when you say, I say, you call them forward. And going into this more day, I say, our ancestors, those that fought in Vietnam, Korea, War, those that were killed in Arkansas, Mississippi, then I say, all of them. I say, our ancestors, well, we might rise up and be together once again, together in body, mind, soul, and spirit. Glory, hallelujah. I just know that we are dealing with witchcraft and warlocks at the highest level. We're dealing with white magic and white power. And white power and white magic throw you off. Let me say that again. You're dealing with white power. They run the government. They run the food, all of that. When you deal with white power, white magic always appear. And we're going to talk about that because some people don't know that our ancestors come from Africa. Some people don't know about Martin Luther King. They don't know about Egypt. They don't know about Africa. Because white magic have blinded your mind and making you hate each other, I say. But tonight, we're going to deal in the 11 o'clock hour with white and black magic. Well, you might know what white magic consists of and what's going on with it. I say, Jerry, I'm praying for you. Regina, I'm praying for you. Renee, I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you, Sister Deborah Ann. I'm praying for you, Lisa and Joe. Praying for you. Praying for every letter, every telephone call. If you got any prophecy, quick, fast, in a hurry. John, I'm praying for you tonight. Kenneth, I'm praying for you tonight. Edward, I'm praying for you tonight. There's no sign on earth that heaven cannot heal. I just see a mass breakthrough for you. I see a mass breakthrough. Tanya Scott, I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you, Mary Scott, Mary Hawkins, Dale, Reverend Dale, I'm praying for you, Hawkins. I'm praying for Dale Spann, tell you, Sister Louise in Chicago, I'm praying for you. I want you to get ready for God to do something new in your life, and you have to attain the power of the Holy Ghost. Good God Almighty. I just see God open up some doors for you in spite of what's going on in your life. Yeah. I know God is able to heal and deliver you in a special way.
Because I think that if Jesus was here celebrating, you would actually have to say the same thing. Unless we do not know where Jesus came from. I was reading a book and I wanted to know, what should I tell these people when I come, and I noticed that the vast majority of the people here are women. And I noticed that the pastor must be very busy because everybody here is Mrs. Somebody. I was trying to figure which one I'm going to take home, but I can't take home any. But then it says, don't mess with the sheep until you check with the shepherd. I came to celebrate with you your second 32nd celebration. I came to celebrate with you even the first celebration. The first celebration of the person who later at Calvary became the deity of your religion. I came to celebrate because when I was looking in the book today, there was a song that came by my mind and it shocked me. It says, make me whiter than snow, Lord. I wonder how could that be, looking as I do. And then I looked in the picture. I said, I want some pictures to show the people what I mean. And so I got all the picture Bibles, and I couldn't find one looking at me. Not even an angel. And I said, well, wait, now I better speak to my people about a little few things. It seems to say somewhere in the book he had hair like lamb's wool. Well, I know you don't know what I'm talking about. That's where you hear. And then I read the book again, and it said his mother brought him into Africa. What's your book don't say Africa? It says Egypt, but the last time I saw Egypt, it was still in Africa. Because Herod was about to kill him. Then I said, let me go back further and deal with this thing that you're here to celebrate. Then I came to the point where it says the Ten Commandments by an African named Moses. His religion being Jewish. Somebody said to me, what do you mean an African named Moses? There was only one Moses, the black Moses, Isaac Hayes. And I said, I am speaking about the only kind of Moses mentioned in the book of Exodus, an African born in the city of Goshen.
Where?
On the Nile. So I said, it's easy for me. I'm coming, actually, to a homecoming celebration.
Where?
Now, I'm not going to mess with theology. I'm not going to mess with that. Get a man here does that very well. And like they said, when you go to cook the daughter, don't mess with the mama. And in looking at this, what I'm going to celebrate, I think of some name, Absalom Jones, as he bolted the white church and went in and discovered and founded his own black church. The Black Episcopal Church. I thought of Richard Allen, as he bolted the white church and found his own African Methodist Episcopal Church. And then I started to think, well, where does the Baptist come in? And I remember the name Palmer, when Palmer said, yes, they are black churches, but they do not speak to the little fellow no more than the white church, so I will start the Black Baptist Church so I can speak to everyone. This was the time when the black church was a revolutionary church, was a church that housed such names as Henry Highland Garnett, not Turner Denmark Beale, but Jonah Toot, and others. Even David Walker, who had made the mass appeal, along with Frederick Douglass and so many others. The names of these men and women stand significantly on my mouth as I speak to you this afternoon, because they too remembered that it was not slavery that brought Christianity to you. You brought Christianity to Europe. Paul did not create Christianity. Paul was trying to explain an African Asian religion to the Romans. And he could only explain it in terms which the Romans knew. Slavery was nothing that brought Christianity to you. The church started in Egypt with Pantheus and Boethius. Ethiopia had a Christian religion and a Christian church 150 years before Rome knew what Christianity was. Those are your people I'm talking about.
Yes.
I am speaking about a religion that came out of the bowels of Central Africa. Because when we look at the Book of the Dead, the pyramid texts and the Khafre texts and the Osirian drama, the 147 negative confessions that set the foundation for the Ten Commandments, when I look at Akhenaten, otherwise called Amenhotep IV, and his teaching of monotheism before another day Moses was born. I could only rejoice in your 32nd birthday today.
Yes.
To think of the fact that you, the people, where the Bible says, and the third river, this is Genesis, mind you, and the third river flows through the land of Ethiopia, and that river is Halibut.
Right.
And then you say, when you look in the mirror, you don't like what you see. This is a history. Your homecoming today, your celebration today, reaches out much farther than what it may seem. Certainly, when we speak of the Nile Valley, we must think and remember that it was there that the infant Jesus was held, was given his haven. Just think back for one moment to Jimmy Carter. That's the president, I understood. The United States Army, the Air Force and the Navy, to look for a little blonde, blue-eyed boy among you. And to search every family, every little boy, and didn't find that blonde, blue-eyed boy. It must mean one thing. That boy was not blonde and blue-eyed in the first place, for he was a chameleon and turned black.
All right.
I'm talking about Jesus. Probably you may never have heard of him mentioned in this way, because it would seem to me that you have not heard of the Aquarian Gospel, or you might not have heard of those books that were removed at the Nicene Conference, that was held in 325 A.D. when Rome changed Christianity to Christendom. Quite indifferent. One has to remember, as I look around and see these beautiful women, I remember three basically precious black women like yourself. Those who were the first to die in the name of Jesus. Three African women from a place called Carthage, now called Morocco. Felicita, named Fano, and Perpetua. The first to die in the name of Jesus, of the Christ. Look what I said, the Christ. The Romans had not yet stopped saying the anointed. We used to say Jesus the Christ, Joshua Christus. The Romans changed that. They couldn't understand what we were doing at all. They couldn't understand anymore, so that they told us that they give us philosophy, that the Greeks give us philosophy, when in fact there wasn't a single Greek in history until 833, when Homer wrote the Iliad and the Odyssey.
All right.
And Homer said that even the god Apollo and the god Zeus came from Ethiopia.
All right.
In other words, the Europeans were saying that those of us who now are like the invisible man were the ones who even brought them the concept of a god. They say that African people, that we do not have philosophy. All we have is the blues. You beat the blues now. It's very good. Sing it sometimes. But they forget that from the first so-called Greek philosopher, Thales, to the last of the Greek philosophers, Socrates, and the center one, the most noted of them, Socrates, came to Africa, to your ancestors and mine, to learn philosophy, only to go back to become the father of it. It's no different than Benny Goodman goes to Duke Ellington to learn to play jazz and become the king of jazz.
All right.
Let us not forget it was your ancestors when there were seven bishops of North Africa. And seven patriots. There wasn't one in Rome yet. The other day you read that the Pope of the Roman Catholic Church from Poland was going from Rome to Poland to look at the picture of the black Madonna and child.
All right.
Here she is, the black Madonna and child. Here she is over there. Here she is over there. The Pope was going to look at the statue of the black Madonna and child. was going to look at a black Mary and a black child named Jesus. Isn't it strange that when you sing in church, you don't lay back and sing, close your eyes, and see yourself? Rather strange, isn't it? But then to speak like this, you said, well, we don't want to hear that. I can't say it because we're in a church gathering, but you know, they say a nigga is, well, let's leave it like that. And why would we say that? We say it because this part of our history, we do not know. Thus, the people who gave to the world Christianity is not being told that it's only slavery why they got Christianity. The Bible did not say, and Rome shall stretch forth her hand unto God. It said, and Ethiopia shall stretch forth her hand unto God. You know, we are celebrating the 32nd birthday. Let's celebrate it all the way. Let's go to the grandmother of Luxor, where your ancestors of mine started the concept of religion, of the deity, when they started to conceive that man could not be here solely by himself. Automatically, just drop of the state that man must have had some sort of a physical as well as a spiritual beginning. And it's along the Nile that your ancestors decided, and from there at the Grand Lodge of Luxor, in what was then called the mystery system, they developed in the priesthood the certain liberal arts. It was in religion that man developed science, not in science. Men develop religion. Thus, there should be no conflict between religion and evolution if one knows what one is speaking about.
Yeah.
There is no conflict when I say there's an evolutionary process that goes on when the mother receives the little seedling from the father. There's a tremendous amount of evolutionary processes go on in that stage before the child comes out. But that doesn't mean that the child doesn't come out with a spirit.
All right.
A soul. That inner self that we call that. I couldn't point you out the soul no more than you can, but you can feel it, you can understand it. Thus it is that when we talk about, I love you with all my heart, we as African people know that the heart cannot love. It is only a piece of muscle that pumps the blood, but we are saying it symbolically. Because in the Book of the Dead and the Pyramid Text and the Coffin Text, we show a picture of the heart being weighed against the feather of truth with the United States government, the Supreme Court symbol adopted, but still told us we got no history.
All right. All right.
Not only did they adopt us from us, but on the dollar bill, right on the green side of your dollar bill, there is your history. Not on the Chinese roots. Not a thing. Everybody has got my roots in slavery. I'm talking way before anybody know me well, much less to enslave. On that dollar bill, you see the symbol of the God concept symbolized by the sun and the pyramid, the house of fire, and the ever-seeing eyes.
All right.
And in other places, that symbol which you use for Jesus in memory of Calvary, originally started out as the Ankh, A-N-K-H, Key of Life. Isn't that strange, or is it strange, that at Calvary Jesus would be placed on the same symbol, but you seem only to think of the death. But Jesus didn't preach the death. Jesus said, after this death, there is a life, a resurrection, and a life, which the African people had brought up traditionally. The scholarship of Jesus was not to be questioned.
Right.
It is that the grandmother of Luxor, from age 12 to age 30, was not to be questioned because it was a scholarship undeniable.
Right.
As its ancient teachers also called priests. For it was as a boy went into the synagogue or to the center of worship, the Grand Lodge of Luxor, at age 7, and he did not leave until 47. Then he was considered a priest. He had gotten the concept of the Sonum Bonum, the law of the greatest
good.
Mm-hmm. So that when the Greeks are talking, anyone in your university, and I laugh when I hear my professor speaking about the Greeks giving us the concept of the law of the greatest good, and we don't have the Greeks in history until 833. This was written on the grandmother of Luxor, 5100 BC. No less so than when we talk about dates. We could not come here this afternoon. You wouldn't know where to come were it not for a calendar. The calendar that your ancestors gave to the world in 10,000 BC, which they then called the stellar calendar. That calendar not being accurate enough, your ancestors then revised it and created what was called the solar calendar with 365 and a quarter days corrected each 7 years. And it was another African from Ethiopia who found it necessary to change the calendar for Justinian from 365 and a quarter days to 365 days corrected each 4 year. Yet, these are the people we are told, for those of us who have studied medicine know very well that in the university you are told that Hippocrates was the father of medicine. Yes, Hippocrates wasn't born until 333 BC. And when we see Hippocrates for the first time, he is in Africa, in Egypt and Nubia, studying medicine,
right,
which is the father of learning the ways of Imhotep, the first known multi-genius in human history, thousands of years before Michelangelo. Imhotep, who was the grand vizier, the prime minister, the physician, the man who designed the first step pyramid, the man who gave us the term, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. This was the man the Greeks knew, the greatest of this physician, that they call him the god Aesculapius. And now, we the descendants of this African, we are called ignorant, shockingly said, that we are a little brighter than an ape. Poor Shockley. But then, as we examine the records much farther, and we start to think of the Christianity that you're here celebrating, modern Christianity came from three Africans. The first one was Tertullian. The second one was Cyprian, the bishop of Carthage. And the third and most noted was Augustine, otherwise called Saint Augustine. It is a Christian book on Christian doctrines upon which modern Christianity rests. The moral concept of Christianity was laid down by Augustine in two words, on Christian doctrine and the Holy City of God, after Augustine had already written his book, the Confession.
All
right. He's here. Right here. If I'm going wrong, you can tell you. Yes, my brothers and my sisters, you are not here as Christians looking in, or people looking in on Christianity, trying to be Christians.
Well,
you started the religion.
All right.
You have no apology to pay to anyone. And anyone that tells you Christianity, the Western religion, turn them. You really do not know what you talk about.
Mm-hmm.
You will have to go and remember that the first, even the first monastery on the island of Philae, on the Nile,
all right,
were by Africans. And let me talk to you, my sisters, because I remember the time when we worship our sisters, our mothers, our women.
Mm-hmm.
And now I understood women don't want to be women no more, they're persons.
Yeah, well.
I always thought they were persons. But these days, the way things are going. But it was, remember this word, Holy Mary, Mother of God.
Mm-hmm.
Blessed are the fruits of thy womb.
Mm-hmm.
It was Mary's womb where the infant Jesus came from.
Yes, right.
And Jesus couldn't come from an unholy place.
Well,
it had to be very holy. I don't want to preach because, Reverend, I don't want, you know, me. Yeah. Let us read it. Let us read it a little slower. Let us take that Bible and read it word for word. Let us read Genesis and see where it's talking about. Genesis is not in Europe. Exodus isn't taking place in Europe. It is taking place between Asia and Africa.
Last week, you were there singing on Good Friday, remembering what you had sung on Holy Saturday. And on Sunday, you rejoice. He has arisen. But say just mere words if you don't have the meaning behind it. Is it when what you said, Jesus died at Calvary? Is it, well, a lot of people die at Calvary. Two out of seven will hang up right there. You didn't rejoice then. How come? It must be something about Jesus that you were rejoicing that you didn't rejoice with the other two. Is it because you were a bad man? Is it because you don't feel like rejoicing? Or you like blood? You shed some blood, so you rejoice. If somebody beat you up and they die, you don't rejoice that. Mean in the affirmative. You're glad they're dead. But the reason you're rejoicing is because of the life Jesus had lived.
Alright.
If Jesus had run around beating up people, you wouldn't be rejoiced. You wouldn't be here today.
Or at least not today.
But it is the fundamental values.
God bless you tonight. This is 10 o'clock hour. I want to tell you that all is well tonight and God's blessing. We want you to get ready for this holiday growing up. We want the Chicago to be safe. We want you to be safe wherever you might be. God is in control, and I'm asking you to reach out to your seniors, help the neighbors. Let's see, can we make this city, this country, safe all over the country. I just thank God for you. And thank God that everything will be all right. So we're getting ready for the holiday and understand where we're at. And going into this 11 o'clock hour, Ashe. And I want to tell you, we're praying for a breakthrough. We're praying for doors to open up. We're praying for power in the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Ashe. So what I'm saying to you tonight, as you go to the holidays, don't forget the elders and the seniors. Stop the killing, save the babies. Washington got to do a better job on getting rid of these guns and these assault weapons. And we're going to focus on that all this month, all this year, all this summer, that we want to save lives, stop the killing, save the babies. We got to have love and stop all this killing going on black, white on white, brown on brown. We have to be able to stop the criminal element. Ashe. I want to go back to some of the service that we're doing, and I want you to be a part of what we're talking about.
Okay, go through your homework. Go verify what I said. If I'm saying something that you don't know anything about, how can you say anything about it? Right? Okay, so having said that, let's get into the message for today. As you see, the subject of today's message is Nicaea, 325 A.D. A.D. stands for Anno Domini. It does not stand for after the death of. Okay? Anno Domini is Latin, which means in the year of our Lord. What's really deep, brothers and sisters, is this really, I'll tell you something, how the Gregorian calendar has been completely adjusted around the existence of someone that the Roman Catholic Church made up. That's some deep stuff. I mean, they actually started counting time down up to a certain point, you know, B.C., 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 or B.C.E. before the Common Era, then it comes to a certain point in history, and then they start counting up again, okay? So here we have, this is 2006. Right? According to who? You mean tell me we've only been here 2006 years? No. Actually, I think this is 6,746. According to, if I'm correct on that, according to, and that's called after the founding of Kemet, AFK. So according to the ancient African calendar or the first stellar calendar, this year would be 6,746. Y'all follow what I'm saying? Okay. Now we got a problem with that. Okay. Because that's after the founding of Canaan. That's just the calendar found in Egypt. You follow what I'm saying? And those of you who are going with us to Kemet this year, you'll get at the Temple of Dendera, you'll get to see the first stellar in this observatory there. You'll get to see the first zodiac that was used, okay, which they copied all that from. That's some deep stuff, because if we're talking 6736 after the founding of Kemet, and yet Kemet is the child of Ethiopia. Y'all follow what I'm saying? Okay? And the civilization that came into Kemet with full knowledge of the math, of math and sciences and horticulture, out of agriculture. Y'all follow me? So how far back does African consciousness really go? If you do some research on what is called the Hutu and the Twa, you'll see that their history dates back almost 400,000 years. What number did I just say, y'all? Almost 400,000 years of history of African people. Why don't they want us to know this? In order for those who have been misled to begin to see correctly, and you need to understand, y'all, a lot of us don't see correctly. We see what we've been given to see. We see through the lenses that were assigned to us. And in order for us to begin to see correctly, we must have a clear analytical understanding of the origin, the strategies, the mechanics, the purpose, and methods of the device that has blinded us in the first place. Let's look back at that. First of all, have you identified the device that got you blind? Think with me. Have you identified it? Most of you have not. Most of you say, the white man. Okay. And then how do you address that? You have to specifically identify the device that has miseducated you. Look at its origin. Go to the origin of it. Look at the strategy inculcated into it. What is the strategy behind your blindness? What's up with that? What is the mechanics of it? What is the purpose of it? Why have they purposed to miseducate you? And then look at the methods that they have used to implement their design. And the number one method that's been used to implement this design upon our people is religion. Why is that? Why didn't they use economics to attract us? Because we're not materialistic people. We're not capitalist by nature. Why did they use religion? Because by nature, we are a spiritual people. By nature, we are attracted to things pertaining to God. So because we're attracted to things that are pertaining to God, they use things pertaining to God to snare us and hook us and place us under arrest and incarcerate our minds till we become dysfunctional and powerless. Brothers and sisters, when it comes to the liberation of the African mind from European concepts, whose concepts? Let me do something here. Do you honestly think that there is a need for the European mind to be delivered or liberated from European concepts? Let me hear your answer. What do you think about that? Well, in case you're not clear, let me help you. Nothing is as backwards as to have an African brain with a European philosophy in it. Everybody knows who they are but us. Everybody on this planet. Everybody on this planet has cultural pride but us. Y'all follow what I'm saying? We must examine and then re-examine again and again and again those agencies that have Europeanized our thinking until we are truly disconnected from the tentacles of their grasp. Imagine a giant octopus, okay, and you're fighting just one of the tentacles. Just one of the tentacles. You're fighting it, and you got a hold on that one tentacle, and you think you're winning. When you got seven other tentacles that's wrapping you up and locking you up and making you immobile, you got to learn how to see the big picture here. The ecumenical councils were legally convened assemblies of ecclesiastical dignitaries. What kind of dignitaries did I just say? When I say ecclesiastical family, I mean church. Church dignitaries. Okay? And theological, let me add this, so-called theological experts. For the purpose, it was convened for the purpose of discussing and regulating matters of church doctrine and discipline. Now, some deep stuff here, because these council meetings actually created what's called authoritative decrees. I mean, they actually passed so-called laws as to what is and what is not, what you are allowed to think and what you better not say. Let's look at this. The Council of Nicaea. Three things I want to cover here today about that council. The cause of the council. Why was there a need to convene this council in the first place? Let's understand that. What was the decree that came out of the Council of Nicaea? And what was the outcome of the council itself? All right, let's look closely at this. What caused the council meeting at Nicaea? Well, to understand that, we have to go back to the first European pharaoh in history. His name was Ptolemy the First Soter. I told you I was going to present some archaeological evidence. This is what I mean when I say evidence that demands a verdict. This is not somebody that we just made up. Here's the coin that dates back to this man's administration. The first European pharaoh, he was the beginning of what is called the Ptolemaic dynasties of ancient Egypt. I take that back. There's no such thing as an ancient white person. Did y'all hear what I said? They've been around long enough to refer to them as ancient. Okay, so they're doing anything, it's recent. It's Johnny come late. Here you have this man, Ptolemy the First, also known as Soter. Now, write down the word Soter, S-O-T-E-R. Write that down. You can see the years of his life, 367 to 283 BCE, approximately in them. Whenever you see C-A before date, that means circa, means approximate. Did you write down S-O-T-E-R? Now, after that, write in parentheses, I mean, like, just make parentheses, but you're going to continue the word. I-O-L-O-G-Y. Soteriology. Exactly. Who knows what soteriology is? The doctrine or the study of salvation. Right. You know why? Because the word soter means savior. You need to understand the historicity here. This man, when he became Pharaoh in Egypt, he wanted the Egyptians to consecrate him as a god. Why? Not capital G-O-D, small G-O-D. Why was that? Because all of the pharaohs of Egypt were called gods with a small G. That's why I said Asa-Ra, a son of God. Every pharaoh was considered a god. Now, this European pharaoh comes in and he wants them to make him a god. But the Egyptians did not do that. The Egyptians said, no, you don't belong here in the first place. The only reason why you're on the throne is because it was taken by military force under Alexander the Great. Not Alexander the Great. Alexander the Greek. But nothing great about him. Y'all following what I'm saying? Ptolemy the First, Soter, was a good friend of Alexander. And that's how he ended up becoming the first European pharaoh of Kemet. Check out his boldness. He took upon himself, or himself, the name Meriamun Soteferoth. Sound familiar? Ursa-ma-ha-ra. Sotekara Ramesu Meriamin. Mary means beloved or loved. Amen is God. So Meriamin means beloved or loved of God. Sotekara means chosen by God. He wasn't given this name. He took it upon himself. Well, he insisted that they make an image in his honor. Oh, shucks. The Egyptians didn't want to do that, so he started putting them to death. So he found a group of sellouts, Egyptians, Melkites, Coptic Egyptians, in the city of Menephra, which is known today as Memphis. The priest at Memphis, which was also the capital back then, the priest at Memphis said, we'll consecrate you to the priesthood. Why did they sell out? Right, stayed there behind. Exactly. Guess what? It's still going on today. So they sold out and they consecrated him to the office of Pharaoh, and they made an image. They made an image in honor of him, and this image is called Serapis. Right. Y'all following me? Y'all sure? So you got to understand it. You can't share this with nobody else if you don't understand. The worship of Serapis. You see, this dude, Ptolemy the First, that is. That's Serapis. The Egyptian version of Serapis. Dating back to approximately 350 BCE. This is the image that they made in honor of Ptolemy the First Soter.
Right.
Okay? What is a Serapis? They took the name Osiris and combined it with the word Apis, which means the bull. Osiris. It became Serapis. the worship of a new God. And this was that God in honor of him called Serapis. Now, it was really a composite deity, as you see here. Again, as I said, made up. It looked kind of dumb, don't it? But hey, you know, the Egyptians had to give him something to appease him. Okay? And as you see here, over here is the Greco-Roman version of Serapis, the painting. How do you know that Serapis? By the cup on top of his head. Y'all see it? Now, what year are we talking here? Greco-Roman, 135 BCE. So this can't be Jesus. If he had existed, it can't be Jesus. You follow what I'm saying? This is the image that the Greeks made the Africans worship.
Yeah, buddy.
In fact, to show you how deep this goes, there was a correspondence from Emperor Hadrian referring to the Alexandrian worshipers. Where's Alexandria? Come on, talk to me. Where's Alexandria? In Egypt, Africa, right? Yes. The Alexandrian worshipers of Serapis calling themselves what? The Bishop of Christ. Now that's deep. There was no Jesus. There was no Jesus. But yet these people refer to themselves as the bishops of Christ. And here's what he says. Egypt, which you commended to me, my dearest Servianus, I have found to be wholly fickle and inconsistent. Putting down Egypt, okay. I can deal with that. And continually wafted about by every breath of fame, the worshippers of Serapis. Here are called what? Wait a minute. The worshippers of Serapis are called Christians. And those who are devoted to the God, Serapis, I find, call themselves the bishops of Christ. Don't take my word for it, family. Go verify it. Just type this in right here on Instagram. This whole thing will come up. Now, what does that mean? That means, brothers and sisters, that in Africa, this image of Serapis that goes all the way back to 350 BCE has become the object of worship. Y'all following me? This was by command. Arius. Everybody say a brother called Arius. A brother called Arius. He had a problem with it. And he made some noise about it. They say this, and I wonder how true it is. The only thing necessary for falsehood or evil to triumph is for good men or women to remain silent. Follow what I'm saying? Falsehood was on the loose. A black man named Arius from Libya came forth and said, enough is enough. He began to explain to them, and you all see what years he missed here, 256 to 336 AD. So guess what? We're talking about the time of the Council of Nicaea, 325 AD. Needless to say, you see, he died 11 years later. I wonder did he die or wasn't killed. Arius, yeah, but Arius lived at a time when the church was divided because of the Christological dispute, which he was instrumental in starting. He taught that, and everybody write this down, Christus, C-H-R-I-S-T-U-S, Christus. Christus was also the nickname for Serapis. What word do you see there? Christ, exactly. Not a Jesus, Serapis. And guess what, y'all? This is deep. This marble image right here, this is the newfangled version of Serapis, Okay, and they use this pyramid figure. This is now the image that they use for Jesus today. Okay, because Serapis, you know, oh, I do, and let me show you the comparison. This marble bust of Serapis, which is in where? London Museum. Right now, as I'm talking to you, that's in the London Museum. You were there, did you see it? Yeah, that's what I'm saying. This is in the London Museum. Why have we been taught this? Why, y'all who grew up in the church all your life, why weren't you taught this? Why weren't you taught it? You can't teach it because it will cause the Christian church to shut down. Arius was making noise, man. He was telling everybody, this deity that y'all are worshiping, it's not deity. He was made by people's hands. Look out here. He was formed out of metal. How do you tell a people who have been worshiping Serapis for over 2.5 centuries that what they've been worshiping ain't real? How do you do that? Arius is causing such a problem because people started listening to him. And they started doing their research and finding out the man was telling the truth. We're worshiping an image that was made in honor of Ptolemy the First. And the Son of God, which this is called the Son of God, same as with Jesus, the Europeans took the S-U in. Talk to me, black people. They made it the S-O-N. Why do you think every picture you see of Jesus, the sun is behind his head? We weren't taught to call it. We were taught to call it a halo. I dare you to go down here to the Catholic Cathedral on Lindell, is it? All you got to do is walk in there and walk up to the altar and you see exactly what I'm talking about. They got this big, pearly white Jesus on the cross with the sun behind his head, meaning he is a Ra, a son of Ra. And Ra was called, or God was called Ra in ancient Egypt. Are y'all following what I'm saying? Arius came along and he began to mess up everybody's programs. He started telling people, y'all are believing in a statue. And guess what, y'all? Some of y'all do too. Some of y'all got the statue, a little tiny one hanging around your neck. Yes, you do. And I mean, you know, I have to put it out again. Why do you keep celebrating that? Why do you keep celebrating death? You know? If you're going to celebrate something, celebrate life. Why is it that nobody yet? I should patent this thing and make some money. Just so I can pay some bills. I should patent this thing. I should actually patent it. And I'm giving somebody a secret to become a millionaire now. Okay, go out of here and patent. And don't forget me when you do now, all right? Go out of here and patent an empty tomb. Next Sunday, that's what everybody's supposed to be celebrating. The resurrection. Why ain't nobody wearing empty tombs around in there? They're still wearing the cross with him on it. He's still dead. Y'all follow what I'm saying, people? Arius caused such a problem for the clergy coalition of his day. He caused such a problem for the ministers' union of his day. He caused such a problem for the ecclesiastical dignitaries of his day that they had, I mean, really, people were starting to leave their churches and go into Listenarians. So what happened, for the sake of stability in the Roman Empire, Constantine called a council and summoned all the bishops of the Roman Catholic Church to this council meeting. It was called the Nicene Council. And in this council, the first order of business was to discredit and silence Arius. We got to stop this man. Yes, black man from Libya. We got to stop him. He's telling the truth. But we don't need for the people to know that. Y'all hearing me? So they convened a council meeting, and they came up with a creed. Now, mind you, when this council meeting was called, there was no Jesus. This is who existed. Serapis. Y'all following what I'm saying? Are you clear? Don't take my word for it. Invalidate what I'm saying. Prove me wrong. Go find a coin or a statue of Jesus somewhere. You won't find one, brothers and sisters. Nobody, Origen, none of the historians of the first, second, third century said anything about somebody called Jesus. Listen, bro. Listen, Lord. Listen to what I'm saying. If there was somebody who really turned water into wine, they'd have statues of him everywhere. If somebody really took two fish and five loaves of bread and fed 5,000 people, they got statues and monuments of him everywhere. If somebody had really walked the water, that's been it, man. That's been it. Did y'all see what that brother did, man? They would, y'all follow what I'm saying? They would be drawings and everything of them. Not one iota of evidence anywhere on this planet. So what they had to do was they had to take this image right here, the Serapis image, and make it Jesus. At the Nicene Council, y'all all right? All right. Sure? All right. At the Nicene Council, the Nicene Council lasted for 2 months and 12 days. 2 months and 12 days of deliberation as to what to do with Arius, and also to pass a law that people can't kneel down and pray at this time. They got to stand up and pray, and also to pass a law that this is going to be the day that everybody celebrates Easter. Okay? Now, even though this pagan practice of Easter had existed for thousands of years, nobody had actually decided what day it was going to happen on. So the Nicene Council. 318 bishops were present. Pope Sylvester, everybody say Pope Sylvester. Another sell-out preacher. Pope Sylvester. Constantine went to Pope Sylvester and said, now listen, I'm making you the first pope. Black man, right? I'm making you the first pope, Sylvester. Okay? But now here's what I want done. And as long as you follow my orders, you'll be a rich pope. You ain't nothing to worry about. Pope Sylvester was Emperor Constantine's puppet and was used to proclaim his wishes. To this council we owe the Creed of Nicaea, defining against Arius. Listen to these stuff. They actually convened a council meeting and came up with a creed just to discredit Arius. The Nicene Creed, which became the statement of the Christian faith, was written and decreed and canonized by 318 Roman Catholic bishops in the Council of Nicaea in 325 AD. Let's check it out. Let's read it together. What does it say? Can everybody see it? Let's read it. We believe in one God, the Father, all-powerful, maker of all things, both seen and unseen. Stop right there. Okay. Not a problem. Now they begin to address the issue. You know, see how, notice how they had to open it up? They had to open it in a statement that is unanimously agreed upon with everybody. Arius didn't have no problem with that statement. That, in fact, that was Arius' argument. There ain't one God. He ain't got no son. That was Arius' argument. See what I'm saying? Okay? The son, the one y'all calling the son, that's you in. That was Arius' argument. But now they begin to address Arius' heresy, as they call it. Now, actually, the man was telling the truth. And by the way, y'all, Arius historically existed. He really existed. Okay? He was telling the truth. The problem, the establishment couldn't handle the truth and not remain in power. And remain in power. Now let's look at the next thing now that begin to and in what? One Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the only begotten, begotten from the Father. Why did they have to say that? Because they wanted you to know. See that statue that they made, that wasn't begotten from the Father. That was made by people. The Seraphis image, that was made in a furnace, shaped and molded by the hands of craftsmen. Okay? So they had to come up with a creed to knock all that out. Begotten from the Father. That is from the substance of the Father. Y'all see that? I mean, all you have to do is read this about three or four times, and you'll see how asinine it is. I mean, really, just read it several times, and you'll see, why do they have to keep saying that? Why do they have to say that again? I mean, what are they trying to say? You follow what I'm saying? Begotten from the Father, that is from the substance of the Father. Check this out. God from God. Light from light. True God from true God. See, he just said God from God. So I just got to say true God from true God. Begotten, not made. Y'all see it? That's already set up here twice. Begotten from the Bible. Only begotten from the Bible. They got to say it again. Begotten, not made. They're specifically addressing the statement that was made by Arius. Now, that's some deep stuff. They actually created a creed based on what Arius said that Catholics everywhere now have to recite every day. Consubstantial with the Father, through whom all things came to be, both those in heaven and those in earth, and for us humans and for our salvation, he came down and became incarnate, became human, suffered and rose up on the third day, went up into the heavens, and is coming to judge the living and the dead, and in the Holy Spirit. Now, why did they have to say all this? Faith, people, if it really happened, you ain't got to go through all this. Now it gets real deep, because now they, in the part two of this, they actually talk against Arius' words. And those who say, meaning Arius, there was once when he was not. See, that's what Arius said. Arius said, I remember the day when there was no Seraphis image, when blacks were on the throne. Okay, Seraphis didn't always exist. Seraphis came into existence since you white folk got into Egypt. That's right. That's what he's saying. So the Roman Catholic Council said, and anybody who says that there was once when he was not, and before he was begotten, he was not, and that he came to be from things that were not, or from another hypostatic or substance, affirming that the Son of God is subject to change or alteration, be the Catholic and Apostolic Church, what y'all, anathematizes. Look at the person next to you and say, there's that control mechanism again. had to put this tree together because of what was happening with people's eyes coming open. Well, it's deep because there was a lot of confusion, a lot of discussion. People said, now that don't make no sense, but what Arius is saying does kind of make sense. So since they were going through all this, Emperor Constantine stepped into the room. And he said, all right, I'm ordering y'all to decree that the Serapis image is Jesus Christ. And that Jesus Christ is everything that we just said. And then he ordered all books to be burned. Why? You gotta get rid of the evidence. See, y'all, that's why I encourage y'all, go to Kemet while you can. Go to Kemet while you can. Get the evidence while you can. Because in any argument of apologetics, that means proving your point, the rule is no evidence, no argument. Huh? Sure did. That's what the guy in Egypt said to us. Sure said it, brother. I forgot all about that. No evidence, no argument. And that's why they are whitewashing Kemet now. I should say Arab washing Kemet now. They're slowly but surely removing all of the black presence out of Egypt and replacing it with an Arab presence so that they can tell the world that they did all of this. When Constantine came in and made his ruling, all of the brothers who were behind Arius' dad, all of the brothers who stood with Arius, punked out. Punked out, man. We don't want no trouble. Arius, I know you tell the truth, but man, shoot, we got to eat, man. I got to pay for that Lexus, man. You know? That chariot of gold that I'm riding out there, brother. Them horses are pulling that thing, man. It costs money. So, Arius, I'm sorry, brother. You know, you my man. Well, I got to sidestep you on this one. Nobody stands up against the emperor. Constantine. And all the brothers who came to him, to Nicaea with him, forsook him. That's why y'all, you know, history tells me. You know, you got to go, I appreciate it. I love it. When y'all say, I'm with you. Y'all know how much I've heard that? And folks who said it ain't here. I mean, I'd love to hear it, don't get me wrong. But I ain't resting on that. It's not your script I'm standing on, man. I'm standing on the fact that God gave me this assignment. That's who my strength is. You follow what I'm saying? To awaken our people. I don't want some of y'all to promise to be with me, man, when the stuff hit the fan. You know? I look around and you ain't there because I'm going to shoot you, right? Shit, man, I got out here because I thought y'all was with me. Don't take that seriously, okay? I don't know if I did that out of it. I ain't going to shoot nobody. Unless I have to, that is. Yeah, buddy. Those who followed the brother abandoned him except two. And they were exiled under the order of Emperor Constantine. And as you saw, he died 11 years later. So, what was the outcome of the Nicene Council? A lie was put in place under a European pharaoh. A brother who was born couple of centuries after the lie got put in place, rose up to speak the truth. And what did the powers that be do to the brother? Shut him down, exile him, and threaten him under the order of death to keep his mouth shut. All of the books that he wrote, all of the lectures that he had done, that's why I got my hard drive backed up many times over in many different places. Y'all hear what I'm saying? Okay. Got to do it, man. Too much work went into all this research. You know, the order was to burn all of his literature. Burn it. Get rid of it. You know? So the outcome of the Council of Nicaea was the transformation of Serapis Christus, which means Christ the Savior. Y'all see it? Serapis, Soteres, Christ the Savior, became Jesus Christ by edict of Emperor Constantine in 325 AD. And I just want to put that up there, because see, y'all will be looking at it all this week. Because this is the Passion Week. This is the week that they use to get this stuff into us, and God is walking around. The Romanized fabricated figure known as Jesus Christ became a fictionalized soter, savior of the world. And just as I close now, and just as with Brother Arius, anyone who tries to reveal the truth about the lie that Rome has perpetrated upon the world, especially Africans, they become the victims of severe anathematization. So, understand that, brothers and sisters. Officers, understand that. Young people, young brother, like the president, understand what lies ahead, man. African family, liberators, revolutionaries, understand what lies ahead. Walk together, children. Don't you ever get weary. Walk together, pray together, sing together, shout together. Don't ever get weary. Hold up your head of the ancestors. Good God Almighty. Got a great camp meeting going on in the promised land. The ancestors are excited, ready. Because we, their great, great, great grandchildren, are taking up the mantle of their life, their deeds, their legacy, their contribution, and saying we're going to do like Brother Arius and fly out against this deception that keeps the minds of our people under arrest. Y'all hear what I'm saying? We sing in the song. They'll be coming from the north, south, east, and west. Good Lord have mercy. Just stand by our side. So don't be afraid. You know, there's a biblical story about a young man and his mentor going to war, and all the armies of the enemy were all around the hilltops and the mountains, and the young brother who didn't have much experience in spiritual warfare got scared and said to his teacher, "We're going to die, we're going to die, we're going to die." And Elijah, in the text, who had much more experience in spiritual warfare, said, "God help this young man, open his eyes, and help him to understand that they that be with
us are more than those who are against us. Brothers and sisters, there ain't enough opposition out here to outnumber our ancestors. Y'all hear what I'm saying? Our African ancestors, that's why we say it every time we come together. Oh, ancestors, stand with us. Protect us and guide us and teach us. Protect us from the snare of our enemies. Rise up, oh African ancestors, and let our enemies be scattered. Then we say, and give us the wisdom and the boldness to deal with our oppressors and those who would hinder the liberation and empowerment of our people. Rise up, O African ancestors, and live in us. Ooh, buddy. And if you do that, we will not fail to honor you. We will not fail to respect. We will not fail to hear you, and we will not sell out and betray you. Oh,
wow, brothers and sisters. Hey, man, what can I tell you? I'm sitting here, you know, it's like, woof, man. I'm having chills, actually, to be honest with you guys, because, like, I'm sitting here saying to myself, is that how I was dropping this years ago, forming the African Village? No wonder the pastors had such a problem with me, because if the people would take time to learn, their churches would go out of business, man, you know? Wow. I trust that you learned today. I trust for those of you who didn't know, I was reading the comments, and some people were sending comments how they had, you know, heard this years ago. It was one of their favorite. And, of course, there were some who chose to state negative comments on things I was saying, and I just immediately blocked them, you know. And the reason why I'm doing that, family, is because I just don't have any more tolerance. I just don't have it. I don't have any more room. Don't want to learn. Okay? I just don't. I have zero tolerance for people who want to be dedicated to their ignorance. You know, the least that you can do is go do the research. Check out what I said. Don't just, you hear something, you don't like it, and you want to try to demonize me. That's you don't learn like that. That's not how you learn. Okay? So, you know, I mean, you're more than welcome to disagree with me, but you're not welcome to disturb my class. That you're not welcome to do. I'm not going to tolerate that. Okay? So spread the word. If you're not here to learn, and I saw a couple of y'all made a comment to somebody, if you're not here to learn, then just leave. Okay? You know, hey, well, if you're not here to learn, you will get blocked. You know, I'm here to teach. I spend hours every week preparing to teach. That's what I've been doing for years, okay? And it's almost like a chef, man, I guess, who prepares or, you know, sits up all night or preparing a meal, you know, and then you come and come, if you don't like the food, then don't come. Don't come to the dinner table, man. Real simple. Because there are too many people who really want to learn, like you guys right here now. You know, I appreciate y'all. I really do. Listen, let's get this truth out, okay, to the masses. Just spread the word. Yeah, spread the word, okay? Share this video. Okay, share it. You know, hey, man, you know, it's going to be on YouTube. Share the video. Okay? But just, we got to free our people. I'm doing my part the best I can. Those of you who will help me to share the truth, please do that, right? That's how we free our people, with right knowledge, okay? Or just say knowledge, not ignorant. No, knowledge, period. Again, family, I am so honored, you know, to have the privilege to be an instrument. Notice I said an instrument, just one of the light bearers. There are many out here, okay? You know, I'm not the only one. Be one of the teachers of freeing our people's mind. You know, we got some great teachers out here, okay? And so let's support our teachers. Let's keep them in prayer, all right? You know, send that positive energy because we deal, listen, y'all, I went through it firsthand. I mean, when I say firsthand, I mean firsthand. I went through it firsthand in St. Louis when the black preachers marched against my ministry. You know, I think, you know, I remember when I showed the video Black Wall Street, the documentary, and I put the announcement on our marquee out in front of the church. And the leading pastor there called me and said, "Hey, man, what's this black sun that you got on your sign out in front of your church?" I said, "Yeah, Pastor, I'm showing the documentary Black Wall Street about the Tulsa riots in the early 1900s and how the KKK destroyed the black financial empire in Tulsa, right?" And he said, "I've never heard anything about that before." I said, "Oh, man, listen, I'll loan you the DVD so you can learn about it." And he said, "I don't want to know about that. I don't want to hear about it. We just want to be sure you ain't coming here to St. Louis with that black stuff." That's exactly what he said to me. You know, the same minister called me into a meeting, and his exact words to me were, "Man, this is St. Louis, man. And this is a Baptist church you have had, man. Just go over there, lay down and holler and let the people stay asleep, man." And when he said that, the ancestors spoke in my spirit and said, "Let him know to get his house in order." And that's just what I told him. I said, "Man, because of what you just said, spirit is telling me to tell you to get ready to get up out of here." And lo and behold, brothers and sisters, that dude led him. He's the one who led the march against me with the black pastors. And in less than 8 months, poor man was, they had to have a closed casket funeral. He dried up like a raisin, you know. I don't say that to boast, but I do say that to try to get you to understand that God is real.
Amen.
And there's a principle that I grew up with, and that principle is, touch not my anointed, my prophet, no harm. I grew up, and I believe that, because I've actually seen the consequences of what happens when you come against God's messenger. You know, so the best thing you can do, and I guess I'm sharing this with those of you out there who have a problem with what I'm saying. The best thing you can do is, if you think I'm wrong, just pray for me, okay? But don't try to fight me, okay? Because if what I'm saying, follow what I'm saying now, if what I'm saying is of God and you're fighting me, then you're really fighting God, okay? And that would not be good for you, right? If you have a problem with what I'm saying, do the research. That's why I say don't, that's why I put the evidence on the screen. I try to, and to the pastors who are watching, that's how I move my congregation, okay, from where they were to where they are now. I showed them the evidence. I didn't just preach to them. I taught them. There's a difference. Remember, preachers proclaim, teachers explain. Okay? Don't ever forget that. All right? So that's what I did. I showed the evidence. And then my favorite phrase is, don't take my word for what I'm saying. Do the research. Go do your own research. Please go do your own research. This way you don't have to say, "Well, this is what Brother Hagin said." You'll know for yourself when you get to do the research, okay? I think one of the worst things you can do is regurgitate what you hear me say, because that means you don't know what you're talking about. I want you to know what you're talking about. Don't just repeat what I'm saying because you heard me say it, all right? Do the research. Verify what I said so that when you open your mouth, you know that you're telling the truth, okay? That's what I had to do. I mean, really, brothers and sisters, trust me, when my eyes started coming open, to survive. So that I could conform to the belief system that I grew up with. Okay? The more research I did, the more I realized that somehow I've been lied to all my life. And that's what struck Jenny. You know? And of course, now I have that passion. I have that same passion now that I must, my part, my people.